This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Just Saying Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Martindale, and this week we have a wonderful guest. He is a writer that is now not on strike anymore, Emmy Award-winning, hilarious comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. Welcome, buddy.
Yeah, the strike is, well, I you know, fingers crossed, it still has to go in front of the membership to get voted on.
I know.
But it looks good. And then, of course, you got the Actors Union.
The Actors,
they have to make their deal, right.
Yeah.
But it's hopeful. I walked a lot of miles on those lines with a lot of pasty-faced, overweight writers who were trying to network. There was a fair amount of networking going on.
I will say that I didn't get my strike photo this year.
Oh, you didn't get published?
I didn't get the, like,
yeah,
we're out here.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know.
You needed a good sign.
Yeah. Did you have a clever sign?
I just picked whatever they had there. I didn't bring my own sign. But for a writer's strike, a lot of it was pretty unoriginal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let us make a living. What?
Boo.
That's not even grammatically correct.
Yeah, come up with something clever, a good catchphrase.
Right.
Something Housewives or Drag Race related, you know.
Yeah.
That was. I'm glad though. I was gone over the weekend, and I feel like everything happened while I was gone. I went to a wedding in Memphis, Tennessee. The enthusiasm you're giving me is
It just made me think about Elvis. I just read a book about Elvis, so I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for Memphis, but I've never been there.
You've never been?
But I feel like it's the place I want to go. But you're gonna say otherwise.
No, it's a lovely place here and there. But my granddad actually worked for Elvis Presley.
No, really?
Yes, he was the manager of the Circle G Ranch, and he managed the horse stables for him.
No,
which is why my tattoo Sugarfoot, which I got drunk in San Diego with Jesse May Peluso, was my mom's horse that he gave away to Elvis, and my mom is still pissed to this day.
That's insane.
Yeah. So we have a lot of, like, Elvis. My grandmother went to high school with him. Like, there's pictures of her, like, dancing, or no, him dancing on, like, the cafeteria table, and my grandma's like, so
wait,
it's really
weird.
Wait,
but the ranch was not next to Graceland, wasn't it in another part of town?
It was in, I want to say it was, like, Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is right next to Memphis.
Yeah, because he's from Mississippi originally.
Tupelo, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, so...
Wow, that's incredible.
It's a cool story.
Yeah.
So Memphis is very special, but like I went to this wedding, which was gorgeous. My sister-in-law's brother, Brooke, and her husband, Brooks. It was a Brooke and Brooks wedding.
Wow.
And they're lovely. And it was a disco glam party at this old Sears building.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And Elvis was the... guy to get them married. I don't know what it's called. The officiator, whatever.
It sounds like a gay guy planned the wedding for them, huh?
No, I think it's... You would think, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was really funny because he wasn't supposed to, like, do the ceremony. Their pastor got shingles, like, a couple days before. So we're all sitting down, ready to go, and there's, like, all these candles lit, and we're all, like, hot. And this Elvis impersonator comes out, and he's just like... what do I do? Like, he had no idea. Like, I guess he had, like, the format, and he was just like, I've never really married anybody before. And we're like, this is a shitty Elvis.
Wow.
Come on. But it was, overall, it was really, really fun. But, it was a lot of things.
Did Elvis sing?
He did sing at the end. He was, like, the, like, party planner or whatever. And she came out to Can't Help Falling in Love with You. It was gorgeous. Everyone looked so fun. We had a great time.
Wise man.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh. But Memphis overall, there was a lot of things that I did not, I wasn't familiar with. So like an Uber in Memphis, I've never had this happen where you call an Uber and the driver's on their way, and multiple people are in the car. And it's not an Uber pool. It's me and my boyfriend Evan get in the car, and there's the driver, and then there's like the daughter or the friend.
Yeah.
Just like in the car with these people, like, is this safe?
Yeah.
We don't know. It just smells like stale cigarettes or weed.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the weed smell in my driver's car.
Yeah.
And sometimes the cloud of smoke is still in the fucking car.
Oh, it's like
when you
in
get
the seats.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, that sounds amazing. How does that go over being a gay couple in the Deep South?
I'm so glad you asked. I mean, people were cool with it. It's not like we were like, this is my lover.
Yeah.
We are together, and now we shall, you know, in the back seat. Nothing like that. Nothing.
You twist the hands when you do
sometimes
it?
There's a twist. Wow. There's a gradual twist. Uh-huh. But there wasn't anything crazy. There might have been some looks, but we just kind of came in with some big gay energy. You know,
we
were just like, this is what we do. Uh-huh. And if you're not cool with it,
yeah.
But I think like someone was just like, this is his friend, you know, this is Justin's friend.
Right.
But no, I think everybody overall was very accepting and, you know, fine with it. However, I did stay in an Airbnb that I think was haunted. Fall is here, so we can get into some spooks. Have you seen the movie Barbarian?
I don't think so.
Okay. It was a movie that came out last year about an Airbnb situation. There's a big titty mutant lady living in the tunnels of this house. Spoiler alert. And that's where we were staying. It looked like that. It was just this Airbnb with just like flickering lights outside.
Other guests staying in your room just like with the Uber?
No, thank God. Yeah. That we know of.
Yeah.
But I think there might have been a hidden passage in there somewhere. And we get in there and everything's just like dead bolted. We had to have a code. We had to twist this knob a certain way, like this, you know, had to. And we get in there and we read the manual and they're like, just be careful with things in here. This is a 100-year-old home. And I'm like, great.
Yeah.
And immediately when I hear 100-year-old home, I think of a dead little girl named Emily.
Yeah.
Because there's always a little ghost girl named Emily. And everything's fine. We didn't have anything weird happen until the last night I was there. And I have my leg over the bed. And I wake up to something hitting the bottom of my foot. And it woke me up. And I thought to myself, am I dreaming? Was that a dream? Because I was asleep and I felt like a human hand hitting my foot at the end of the bed. And I wake up and I look around and I'm like, hello? Nothing. No one's moving around, nothing. There is a dog barking outside, which is telling me that there's someone maybe out there. And then I open my closet door, and there is this old, like, rickety, smells old shelf that I'm like, I bet if I pull something, there's going to be a tunnel. Didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I like spooky shit, but, like, this was, like,
Wow.
But, like, I felt, like, a hand on the bottom of my foot, like three slaps.
Three slaps, like a low five.
A low five
on
my foot.
Damn.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's the thing about Airbnbs is you know, you're signing up for that. That's part of it.
I know.
My son went to college in Chicago, so we went out to visit him one time, and we got an Airbnb, and we look at the photos, and there's no photos of the outside. There's just a photo of a gorgeous one bedroom, completely refinished, you know, modern kitchen, art deco looking. So we show up and we get in our Uber from the airport and the Uber pulls up. We read the address, pulls up, and we are sitting in the underpass of the subway, you know, the L train in Chicago. And we go, let's check the address again because it can't be here. And so he looks at it again. He's like, this is it. And so we get out and we're standing under the tracks and we look to the left and there's a keypad for an apartment building. And it's a big modern apartment building. So like, all right, I guess we're next to the train track. So we go in and we go up to our room on the second floor. We walk in and it's gorgeous. It's like, oh, this is great. Big curtains on the windows. We walk over to the windows. I open the curtains. And I'm not exaggerating.
What?
From me to Lee. Lee is standing on the subway platform. And I am on the deck of my building. And there's just people milling around. There's just a bunch of people. And as you open the curtains, like, they are all, and they are looking brazenly
right
at us. And we're making love.
No, oh, wow.
No, we didn't make love. And so I was standing on the porch.
We're making love.
To the sound of the train. Yeah.
And they're like.
Yeah. And so we got on the porch, and I pull out my camera. He's like, all right, I got to put this on my social media. So I was videotaping, and this guy runs up, and he goes, motherfucker, you're not videotaping this shit. And he walks at me, like, to where he's really close. Like, I felt like he could have dove onto the deck.
Yeah.
And so I just turned off the phone. I closed the curtains. I ran inside. It was crazy. And you could hear, like, coming up on track three, train six, smoothly enter towards the rear of the train.
Did the whole room shake when the train went by?
No.
Oh, I love those stories. That's terrifying, though.
Yeah, but it was so funny that it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what you have to take into account. You're like, that was a fun experience.
Yeah.
But haunted wall people, that's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Wall people that live in.
So are you somebody that's susceptible to haunting type stuff?
I think so.
Have you done a Ouija board?
No, I won't touch that. Have you?
No, I have. It freaked me the fuck out. Can we curse on this podcast?
Yes.
It freaked me the fuck out. I swear to God, it was going to thing.
How many people were on the
like
thing?
Like five.
Okay. And y'all were just not.
I don't think all five of us did it at once. I think there was just two or three of us doing it at once. But it was spelling shit.
What was it saying? What were you asking it?
I think it said sale at Penny's this weekend. And then you realize everything
don't
has a corporate sponsorship now.
That's so weird. Yeah, I won't touch that stuff because that stuff comes, that sticks with you. But I want to talk about this because I found this today. There's always these articles that are like, here's the top 10 best cities to live in, you know?
Clickbait.
It is clickbait, but it's always fun. You're like, did my city make it? And LA never makes it, but whatever.
Good.
I
know. Good. We got enough people. I don't need more people attracted to this city.
I know.
Keep it a secret. Shh. Yeah. LA's great.
Don't come here. It's awful, but fun, but awful. But here's a study that came out. I don't think this is clickbait. This is the best U.S. cities to be a ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know where this came from, but this is an article that came out. It says, here's the key findings of different cities to be a ghost. Springfield, Massachusetts ranks as the best U.S. city to be a ghost, followed by Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Birmingham, Alabama. Miami, Florida ranks as the worst.
Wait, when they say best, are they saying that people embrace that you exist? Or is it the lifestyle of the actual ghost?
I think it's actual haunted houses that have been
documented.
That are in the city. Yeah. Yeah. So Miami ranked as the worst, followed by Seattle and Charlotte, North Carolina. Columbia, South Carolina is the city with the most cemeteries per 100,000 residents. And Dayton, Ohio has the most graves per person. That's weird. 2.5 compared to the national average. So,
which city do you think you're most likely to be ghosted in?
Oh, LA, for sure.
Yeah.
We'll get into that one.
Yeah.
I think that one is definitely the one to be the most ghosted in. So, top 10. Let's see. We've got. At number 10, Greenville, South Carolina. Number 9, New Orleans. I would think number 9 would be a little higher. I thought New Orleans would definitely be up there. 8, Akron, Ohio. 7, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Akron?
Is it Akron?
Akron?
I don't know.
You don't go to Ohio?
Akron? No. Have I been to Ohio? I don't think so.
Ohio's got a lot of shitty cities. Like, no offense, Akron people, but it's a
Akron,
shit
Akron, Ohio.
City. New Orleans, I would think, would be in the top three with, what's the one in Salem had all the witches?
Salem, Massachusetts, yeah. 7 is Knoxville, Tennessee. Number 6, Dayton, Ohio. I know it's Dayton. It was just another Ohio. Number 5, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I can see that.
4 is Syracuse, New York. 3, Birmingham. 2, Scranton. And the number 1 most haunted place to be a ghost is Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay. So if you live in those cities, it's okay to die there because you're going to have a great time. Here's someone who hopefully will not be ghosted anytime soon. This story is all over the news today. Are you a big football fan?
I am.
Okay.
And I was very excited.
Okay.
Travis Kelce is one of my favorite players. I mean, he's just a dynamic, exciting, fun player. And really one of the best tight ends in the league.
Well, Yeah, I would assume he'd have a good tight end.
Well, he's also known as a wide receiver, though.
He sometimes plays wide receiver. Don't know what that means, but it sounds hot.
And there's something about Taylor Swift, although I listen to her music and I feel nothing.
Why?
I don't know. I can't tell you why I don't feel anything. Okay. I listen to it and I don't feel anything. But okay. I respect the production value. I respect
the songwriting.
I say, okay, I can see a tween girl. Mm-hmm. Like I love that it's speaking to the things that this population goes through. And mm-hmm. I think it's great for them. And I've been obsessed with how famous she is.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, we've talked about her on the podcast numerous times. I myself am not a Swiftie. I think that you and I are very similar in that, where I'm like, I can appreciate the songwriting. It's just not for me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm like, go for it.
Yep.
Kill it. But at the same time—
I have no hatred for her. She's a hustler.
Yes.
I think she's a really positive person.
Yes, she's nice. She helps out her staff. It exhausts me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, and I don't know. And I think she's pretty, but there's something weird going on with the front teeth. They all seem like they're made of one piece of plastic. Doesn't it? There's no spacing. As a guy with a space between his teeth, I like to see the little elbow room on the teeth.
Does she just have one big tooth?
Doesn't it seem like it?
I feel like that's the thing. Do you think, is it like veneers or something?
I think she got veneers.
Yeah, well, she's like a bajillionaire. But so that's the story going on over the weekend, is that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are apparently dating, and this happened over the weekend, and I'm already over it. It's just so much. This is what exhausts me about Taylor Swift, the Easter eggs.
What's that?
It's like where they hide little things in the song or like a music video that tie it back to, it's like a Disney Pixar film. So like if there's, say there's like, you're watching Toy Story, and then there'll be like a little Finding Nemo over here, and Pixar's like, that's the next movie we're releasing. It's about this clownfish or whatever. So it's like she does that in her music videos where they're like, she wore purple this day in reference to this song or this time. It's a lot. So there's actually like Taylor Swift sleuths out there looking for hidden clues and messages within her songs. Kind of like Paul is Dead from the Beatles, that kind of album thing, you know?
Yes, I buried Paul, the whole Sgt. Pepper's album. Well, you know, the cover of the Sgt. Pepper's album, it was funeral flowers.
Yeah.
They were traditional Asian funeral flowers, and I think there was a coffin on stage. Wait, can we get a picture of Taylor's teeth? Can you find it?
Do we have Taylor's teeth? She has that, like, cherub lip, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's always like this.
Yes.
It's like, open. I mean.
It's kissable. Oh, yeah, look at those teeth.
Oh, I see. Yeah, those are rich people teeth.
She could lose.
She could earn $345 million in 2023, making her close to a billionaire. Yeah, she's loaded forever.
Can you imagine the merch sales at her shows?
Oh, my God. Do you know how much merch is nowadays?
Oh, it's like $40 a t-shirt.
No. Beyonce's merch is $70 a t-shirt.
No.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's just her alone.
Well, you know, Bert Kreischer is very smart because he sells the merch, but then he also carved out a deal where he gets a percentage of the beer sales at his shows.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Because they drink so much more beer at his shows.
Well, he's definitely not selling Bert Kreischer shirts because they'll come off when he gets on stage.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, here's a shirt. Now take it off.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They went on this... She went to his game. Everyone was losing it. But then it was just kind of bizarre because then they said she was escorted out in a popcorn maker, That's what she does. Like, when she goes on stage, they hide her in, like, a janitor bucket.
What is it? Really? Called?
They'll hide her in shit so people don't see her. So, yeah, for concerts, they hit her in, like, a janitor, like, mop and bucket, like, porta potty thing and bring her out on stage. And then apparently in this one, they see her, they show her like leaving in a popcorn machine. There it is, right there. This is Taylor leaving the Chiefs suite. You can't convince me otherwise. So now people are like, they're hiding her in like, it's like.
Do you think when Travis was having sex with her that night, they didn't need lube?
Do you think they had sex that night?
Because of all the butter?
Oh my God. Not an.
Did they have sex that night? Have you seen him play a football game? He gets pounded for 3 hours. He gets annihilated. Nobody's having sex after that.
I was going to say, and there was a Watch What Happens Live clip from a year or two ago where he was on
it. Yeah, see the black guy?
Yeah, he's like, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's like a weird, like, Get Out moment. They're like, now button your polo all the way up. Yeah, right. Put the hat forward.
Move the hat forward.
Put the hat forward.
Somebody get to the black guy.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
But on Watch What Happens Live, Andy, or Ramona Singer's asking Travis, she goes, what's the appropriate amount of days before you have sex on a date? And he said 3 dates.
Oh.
And then he said that, what is a big deal? A big deal breaker for him is not getting oral sex.
He said that?
Yeah.
Those teeth, though, that would hurt.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Yep. I mean, now I'm thinking of Taylor Swift having sex, and I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't see her giving a blowjob. I think she's a hand job woman. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off.
That's the origin story of Shake It Off.
And then,
how's that for an Easter egg?
If she did give a blowjob at the end of it, she'd be like,
"Oh God, no." But also, Travis Kelce had a reality show on E.
Oh, really?
Like 3 years ago, like Date My Dude or something, whatever it was called. I don't even know. But the woman who was on that show who won said to Taylor to watch out because he's a cheater. And once a cheater, always a cheater.
Really? Yeah.
So I don't know. Is this kind of a bad luck thing for the Kansas City Chiefs if they do break up?
It's always bad when a player gets distracted by a new... In golf, I see it a lot. Like Rory McIlroy got married and had kids, and all of a sudden he hasn't won a tournament since.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You saw it with Brady's breakup. I mean, With Giselle, he was horrible the year they broke up. He ended up retiring because of it. No, women and athletes are meant to have one-night stands. They're not meant to be married and get serious.
Yeah. I feel like that curse kind of goes along with the Kardashians, too. Every athlete that they
end up
dating, everyone's like, no!
Dude, have you ever seen the J-Ray video with her? With Kim Kardashian.
The Ray J video?
Ray J. Did I say J-Ray?
You said J-Ray.
He's from Dayton.
Have you seen that J-Ray video? No, I haven't. The Ray J. Oh, the sex tape video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
classic.
I just watched it. I'm not kidding you.
I'd seen stills.
And then I was like, you know, I wonder if that thing is still on the internet. I don't know what made me think of it, but... I put it on. I mean, it's fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
Mm-mm. It's like in its early 2000s, too, where, like, it's like that night vision kind of, like, eyes.
No, it's better than that.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Paris.
You're thinking of Paris. No, this is...
I'm just mixing up the sex tapes.
This is not high def, but it's, like, it's good quality. The lighting is not bad.
Yeah.
What's weird is she doesn't show her breasts.
Interesting.
She pulls the bra apart, but that's pushing them up.
Mm-hmm.
There's out of the entire 42 minute tape, there was not a moment where she was just freestyling.
Well, that was, you know, Chris being like, Kim, cover up your breasts.
Yeah, right.
Chris was the boom operator.
Yeah,
in that. She's
she was
like,
yeah.
Can you, Kim,
Yeah.
To the camera.
Yeah.
To the camera.
She had the tape. She was taping him up.
It blows my mind how that, like, escalated into this, like,
So if Paris did a sex tape first and she blew up and mm-hmm. she and Kim were besties.
Kim was her closet organizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was then a plan by Kim to make a sex tape and leak it out, right?
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
I know. It makes me think of my upbringing, you know? My mom told me to make a sex tape.
Yeah.
But I guess every parent's different, you know?
Right, right.
I don't think Travis Kelce is his mom is telling him to make a sex tape. But you know what? I'd watch. But yeah, Taylor's all over the news. We can't escape her. She was recently seen with Sophie Turner, who was going through a divorce with Joe
Who's
Jonas.
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner, she was in Game of Thrones. Did you watch
which
Game
one?
Of Thrones?
Yeah, which
she
one?
She was House of Stark. She was the eldest daughter in House of Stark.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So she's going through a really messy divorce with Joe Jonas. They're going through like this custody battle. And Taylor had dinner with her twice last week while the press was full of reports about the gory details of the divorce and custody battle. So Taylor's just like all over town. We're going to have a good girls' night, you know, and then we're going to go to this football game. I don't know.
Well, I know that when she and Travis went out to dinner, they went into a restaurant
mm-hmm.
and they bought everybody's dinner and then told them to leave.
How does that work?
That's how it works.
Do you get to finish the dinner?
No.
This paid... is all on us, guys. Ow.
Right, right.
we just got our steak.
Yeah, no. Right, right. Yeah. But we get it free, but we don't get to eat it?
Paid for, but
yeah.
How does that even, what I restaurant know. Was it? Do we know what kind of restaurant was it?
I think it was a Cheesecake Factory in Marina
Del Rey.
Then
that makes right. sense.
No, I don't
out.
Know what it was.
Yeah, that's so wild to me.
Yeah.
I want to see how that works, because you know for a fact Taylor Swift and him can't walk into said Cheesecake Factory without everyone being like, freaking out.
Well, there are restaurants that are, you know, boutique restaurants mm-hmm. where there's five tables and mm-hmm. it's a master chef. And they're the kind of people that don't ask for selfies.
Right.
You go to a place like that.
Right. But don't go to like some...
Don't go to a large
a
steakhouse.
Mall.
Yeah, right.
But
the most famous person you've ever hung out with?
Have ever hung out with?
Yeah.
Like at their house?
No, or just like...
I mean, maybe. I remember when Robin Williams was here. Who's the most famous person you've hung out with?
Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
At the New York Film Festival once. Got to hang out with him.
Is that when you kicked everyone out of the Applebee's
afterwards? Well, Zach Galifianakis is one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr and Joe Rogan. And these are all guys I came up with, so I'm still really close friends with them. But outside of comedy, John Hamm, I'm friends with John
okay.
Hamm.
I've seen him out, yes.
Oh, good.
I have. We uh-huh. went to in Silver Lake. It was like an old fire station.
Yeah.
He was at that party.
Right.
So, yeah. I know people I just don't like.
Yeah.
It's always like a function. It's not like, hey, let's go grab lunch.
Dave Navarro and I are good friends.
Oh, Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
That guy is so fucking cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
I still think he was like one of the hottest rockers.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Like,
and just, also I think his sexual fluidity. I don't know if he ever did gay stuff, but he certainly gave off that aura.
For sure.
Yeah.
Just androgynous and
yeah.
Like painted nails and just like brooding. Uh-huh. Carmen Electra? Like, come on. Like, yeah.
I know this girl and she was on...
Meth.
She was not on meth.
Okay.
I was on a show. What show was I on? Oh, The Gong Show with Dave Attell. I was the head writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hired this girl to be like, you know, like the prize girl kind of thing. Like dollar up and she's just...
Like the Meghan Markle suitcase girl. Yeah.
So she comes in, and I got to know her pretty well, and she told me that she met Dave Navarro, and he asked her out, and he said, we'll go to dinner. He goes, why don't you come to my apartment first? So she goes to his apartment, and he goes, just they'll let you in and just come up to 3A or whatever. So she comes up to 3A, and the door is ajar, and she opens it up, and she walks in, and the lights are all off. But there's a ring of candles in the corner, and he's sitting in the middle of it, nude, playing acoustic guitar.
God, and that's so just, cool.
And she started laughing and she laughed.
Damn it. Wait, she started laughing at his face?
And left.
Yeah. And left?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like the worst Grindr hookup ever. Oh my God, doors and locks, let yourself in. Yeah. Naked with a guitar with candles around?
Yeah.
But it's like Dave Navarro. That's I like know. Vampire shit.
Right, right.
Oh, live, laugh, leave.
Yeah. Live, laugh, lick, leave. Left. She left out the lick part because she definitely, she licked him first.
Well, I mean, you got to lick. If you're going to go into Dave Navarro's house, you got to at least give him a lick.
Right, right.
You know? Well, this year, or next year rather, Super Bowl, the halftime show has been announced. Usher.
He must have done it before, right?
Usher?
No, he hasn't done it before.
I don't think he has.
He's kind of perfect, isn't
he? It is. Well, I would think so, yes. I'm trying to remember because you know how sometimes they bring out like
little
guests. Right. I'm wondering if he did that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But I can't remember. But he says it's fine. I don't think he has because he says it's an honor of a lifetime to finally check a Super Bowl performance off my bucket list.
Well, okay.
I can't wait to bring the world a show unlike anything else they've seen from me
before. I just feel bad because when he shows up as a black guy to the Super Bowl and says, I'm here to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Usher. And then they hand him like a red vest and they tell him, okay, the people are coming in there, just bring me the luxury booth.
Usher.
Yeah.
I always wonder if he actually was ever an usher in real life.
Maybe.
I don't think he was. But how has that not been a play on like some late night show where they're like, you know, oh, we're going to film this movie theater of people and the usher is actually Usher.
Yeah, that's good. Call Jimmy Kimmel.
And everyone's like, whoa!
Yeah.
But a lot of people were saying Taylor Swift was going to do it. She said no.
She did?
Of course she did. She doesn't need the Super Bowl. She sold out every damn stadium for 10 nights.
She's going to wait. She's like this right now?
Yeah.
And when this happens,
it's never gonna
that's
happen.
When you do the Super Bowl.
She's never going to happen.
Never. Oh, please.
I don't think she will. You think Taylor Swift
her
will flop.
Fans are going to age out, don't you think? She's the kind of person that you turn 27 and you go, you start hiding your CDs and being like, you know?
For those of you at home, CDs were music
don't
discs.
You that, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I know. It's so
old.
Wild. I know. I used to have the like case with just CDs.
I had so many CDs that I finally got rid of them because once I got my MP3 player, I was like, well, this is insane. You get on Spotify and you can get any album
anything.
Ever. And so I took all my CDs. I had 3,000 CDs.
Oh.
And I brought them to Amoeba Records.
Sold them?
And I sold them, and they gave me like, they were giving me like $4 or $5 a CD.
Oh, wow.
So I walked out of there, but they only give you store credit. So I had
that's
like,
the worst.
I had like $9,000 in store credit. And so I didn't know what the fuck to do. So I bought like, I already had a collection of vinyl comedy records. So I bought like every one of their comedy records.
That's great.
And a bunch of posters. And then they give you 50 cents on the dollar for your balance. So I walked out with like a few grand in cash.
That's good though.
Yeah.
Store credit. I mean, my God. But like, I'm trying to figure out like, I didn't know, how many Usher songs do you know off the top of your head?
One.
Which one?
What, you know the one.
Not that one. Oh, there he goes.
Because I'm happy.
No, that's...
Is that him? Happy?
No, that's not Usher, is it? No.
Is that Outkast?
No.
Who is it?
It's Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Oh, it's Pharrell.
Yeah, because I'm happy. Which is, that's a waterboarding song if I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
Like if you're just like getting waterboarded. And
wait, sorry, so what's
well, here,
an Usher
I got
song?
This, I got this for you. This
oh,
is
this
a
another list?
It is a list. A beginner's guide
Jesus
to Usher
Christ.
In 10 songs. Look, I'm going to help you, okay? So here we go. Number one, the song you were thinking of is not Think of You. So Think of You. You remind me of a girl that I once knew. That one? Ring a bell?
Yeah, I'm not into this kind of music,
okay.
But keep going.
You Make Me Wanna from 97. You Make Me Wanna Leave the One I'm With.
Yeah, yeah,
start
I know
a new
that.
Relationship.
Yeah.
which is also another name of a song.
Yeah. You.
Yeah. 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 That's the song.
It's called Yeah? Really?
Yeah. It's called, that's the song you were thinking while you were doing
Oh, it is?
This.
You make me happy. You make me happy. I mean, it's
song.
Just stupid music. I don't like any
yeah,
of this music.
Yeah.
I don't like this pop R&B shit.
So I had to think of it because I was like, what other songs are there? You Got It Bad. What else has he got? You Remind Me. Okay, we got that one. This Is My Confession. It's going to be fun.
His body looks good.
Sponsored by Pepsi and herpes. That's really what it's going to be. Burn. Let it burn. And he had a residency in Vegas. My Boo with Alicia Keys. Maybe yeah. She'll come out and sing it with him. I'm gonna make love in this club. That one. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. There Goes My Baby. Sure. And 10, Climax. So, you know, and he was a judge on The Voice. Let him
Wasn't
do
there
it.
Wasn't some controversy with him at some point? Or is he controversy free?
No, you're thinking of Chris Brown.
Oh, I'm thinking of Drake.
Drake's controversy?
Yeah.
What was his?
Something in Toronto.
Well, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
It's always something in Toronto.
Right. You think you're out of the country, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
You can do whatever you want. But Let's get back. You mentioned this earlier. Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady, okay? You said once he was with her, it was all over for him. But Gisele recently said in Glamour magazine that she would divorce Tom Brady today if she was offered a do-over. Boom. So October will officially mark the one-year anniversary of Gisele Bündchen's divorce from Tom Brady.
That divorce happened fast,
oh,
by the
so
way. They
quick.
Split up and it was like a month later.
Two different houses already.
Yeah,
just
right.
The 43-year-old model has no regrets about ending their 13-year marriage. Don't take my word for it. Bündchen said to herself in a candid new interview with CBS News Sunday Morning, which aired on September 24th, I look into my life and I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have any other life, she told the interviewer, adding that if she were offered to change something about her journey, she wouldn't change absolutely anything. I mean, I think she's fine.
Hey, look, you're married to a guy who talks to his father every day. That's a red flag, isn't it? His father was advising him on every personal and business decision.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It is weird. And he also looks like a Christmas nutcracker.
Yes.
I think he doesn't
Little
look like this
perfect.
Anymore.
Can I tell you my Tom Brady story?
Please.
Speaking of famous people that I know.
Okay, sure.
So I work with Best Buddies, which is a group that helps people with intellectual disabilities.
Okay.
And he was the spokesperson for that group for years. I mean, if anybody wants to badmouth Tom, the one great thing he did was that. He was amazing. And like, so I would do these events and I do, like I'm doing a fundraiser here for it. And we take people bowling, like the intellectually disabled people, we take them bowling. And so I flew to Boston to do this event where we were riding bikes from Boston down to Cape Cod to raise money and awareness. And so the night before the ride, we went to Harvard Stadium
mm-hmm.
and we played a celebrity touch football game at Harvard Stadium. And it was a bunch of celebrities, pretty big name people, and Tom Brady. And then there was the buddy, you call them the buddies, the intellectually disabled people. And the buddies were playing in the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans were, the stadium was full. It was amazing. So I go into the locker room before, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, this god walks in. I mean, when you see Tom Brady in person, his eyes are piercing. He's got this radiant smile. He's so good looking. And he comes
tall.
Over. Yeah, he's tall.
He's tall, right?
Yeah, he's probably 6 foot.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he starts talking to people. And then he comes over to me and somebody introduces me and says, I'm a comedian. And he just locks in, like mind melds with me. And for like 15 minutes, we're talking about comedy, which comedians he likes. And I'm making him laugh. And it was just, I was like, I had such a man crush on him. And then we went out to the field and we split into two teams. And I'm on Tom Brady's team.
Uh-huh.
So we go into the huddle, and he's giving out assignments. You know, you run, he's saying to the buddies, okay, you're going to run up on the right. Cecilia, okay, you're going to run up on the left. And then I'm looking at him like this. And he looks at me and he goes, just go out. Like, what's the matter with you? I'm not going to give you an assignment. You're not a buddy. And so I line up on the right. And he calls hike. And I start running up the field. And I look over my left shoulder. And I see Tom Brady is looking at me. And he takes the ball back behind his ear. And he releases a perfect floating spiral through the air, thousands of people watching, blue sky, Harvard Stadium, and it's coming in, and I'm going to make a basket catch. All I got to do is just not trip, not fumble, just gently pull it. So the ball lands on my hands, and I pull it in, and I catch it. And now there's two best buddies in front of me, and I deke them out, and then I run in for a touchdown. And I just look back, and Tom Brady's like going like this, like, no. What is the matter with you?
What happened?
I deked out the buddies. They're intellectually disabled.
This isn't about them. It's about you. Get out of here. This is your moment.
I got caught up in the moment.
Yeah, you know, that was your Rudy moment.
I wanted to score a touchdown from Tom Brady, and I did.
Yeah.
Nobody was standing in between me and that end zone.
Get out of here. Just let me have this.
I mean,
this.
I didn't plow into anybody, but I did.
That would have been me just, you're like, oh, my God. You broke their sternums.
Oh,
what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm glad that's a moment, though, you will always cherish.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at intohistory.com.
And then that night, we did a benefit show. There was a dinner, and then people came out, and Tom Brady got on stage. And for $500, Tom Brady from the stage would take an autographed ball and throw it to you. And it was a big tent. It was a big outdoor tent. There was probably like 3,000 people in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's white linen tables and candles. It's really nice. But then he would throw passes to people, and because it was volunteers would come up and they'd get the 500, and then they would go like this with the red flag, and then Tom would throw the football to you and you would get to catch it. And so he's doing this and the place is going berserk. Because New England with Tom Brady, there has never been a love affair with a player like New England with Tom Brady.
Of course.
He brought them 4 Super Bowls or something. And so to catch the passes, the place is euphoric. The buddies are mixed in with the crowd and they're having fun. And then he goes, all right, now we're going to bring up comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. And I walk up and nobody's sitting down. Nobody's paying attention. And he just looks at me and he goes, good luck. Good luck.
It's always those corporate events where you're just like, ugh.
And I got up and I was bombing so bad. Nobody was looking at me. And then a buddy crawled up on stage and sat at my feet and just looked straight up at me. And it was so cute. I couldn't do anything. And then I'm looking at it and my friends are sitting at a table with Gordon Ramsay.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, there was a bunch of celebrities. They were dying. They were laughing so hard at me bombing.
Uh-huh.
And I did my time.
You did your time.
I did my time.
You go, thanks.
Yep.
Bye.
Got on a bike the next morning, rode to Cape Cod.
Oh, that's the best. I love Cape Cod. Well, you know what you should have done instead of doing stand-up? You probably should have gotten up there and danced with Knives, because that's the latest thing that Britney Spears
has done.
Is this your
transition back into
the podcast? This is my transition back into the podcast. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I tried to, like, not talk about Britney Spears a lot because it's always something. And Land and I will be like, yeah, well, she did this week. And yeah, I'm like, you know what?
You
no,
right.
I don't care.
Right.
All you got to do is just wait for Sunday. Sunday night football and then Sunday's Britney Instagram post because she's concerning
the
a lot of people.
From the weekend.
Have you seen this?
No.
She is just taking it to the next level with...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Here she is dancing with knives. She's got her dogs in the background.
And she's barefoot.
And she's, she's always barefoot.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. Is this a cry for help? Yes. Or is this a new pop princess Asian fusion dinner called Britney Hanna opening up here in Beverly Hills in the fall?
I think this is somebody living their best life. You know, she's
really?
Got she's got plenty of money.
Yeah.
She always seems happy when she's doing
she's
these things.
Living, yeah, and she also captioned this saying, "Don't worry, y'all. They are not real knives. Halloween
okay.
is soon. Thing is, you hear the clanging of the knives as they come together, so they sure seem real."
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, why can't Britney just have fun?
She is having fun. I think, but people want her to have fun, like, outside of her kitchen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Go outside.
Yeah, but she can't. She gets mobbed.
Well, she was seen recently, like, in Mexico or something, and her top was coming down or something like that.
I'm but assuming she has breast implants, right?
I don't know. I think she did when she was younger, and everyone was, like, obsessed with her. But
yeah.
She also had a very big fascination with knives, where she was saying that when she's at home, she sleeps with a knife under her pillow.
Oh.
So to each their own. And also, her ex-husband, Sam Asghari, goes to my gym. And over the weekend...
See, you know somebody famous.
Don't. Not Sam Asghari. No, he was at my gym over the weekend with his shirt off, like posing for pictures for paparazzi.
Really?
I'm like, what are you doing, guy?
What a loser.
I know. He stood out there where I stand to get photographed, and no one.
Nothing.
But you know what? Let her dance with knives.
Why not?
Yeah. Do you ever think about the Roman Empire?
A lot.
You do?
I just listened to a podcast this week about how Caesar was basically Hitler. He committed more genocide than Hitler did because, you know, the Roman Empire, they expanded into all the Norman territories.
Uh-huh.
The Gauls basically occupied all of Western Europe.
Uh-huh.
And Caesar went in there and the Romans just, and we're not talking, it's not modern warfare where there's gunpowder and bullets. We're talking Britney Spears, like knives and axes. And they killed tens of millions of people. I mean, it was barbaric. And then they just took over.
So you do think about it a lot.
I read a lot about historical biographies, and a lot of them are about ancient Rome.
Well, have you heard about this, which you just totally nailed for me, by the way? There was this TikTok trend that garnered over 1 billion views that said that... a lot of men, a lot of straight men, are asked how often they think about the Roman Empire.
Really?
Yes. And surprisingly, some say they think about the fallen empire daily or even more often, sparking online confusion. So you just, like, proved me right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they invented the aqueducts. A lot of our tenets of our democracy come from there. You know, and it was the longest reigning government in the history of time.
Yeah. But see, I think my Roman Empire is different from your Roman Empire.
Yours has more vomiting.
Yours is like politics and inventions. Mine's like wine and orgies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, call me old-fashioned.
Right, right. They were good days.
Good days, I think. But I mean, I've been to Rome. Have you been to Rome?
Yes.
Yeah, and... Colosseum's incredible.
Yeah.
I am fascinated with the fact that they could flood the Colosseum for warships.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, they have aqueducts in the Colosseum that they would fill with water and have, like, boat battles in there. And then they would drain it to have, like, tiger fights and then,
That's
you know,
amazing.
The occasional burning of Christians,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I do. Maybe I think of the Roman Empire. And I saw Spartacus on Starz, which was...
Yeah.
Which was a hot series.
Did you pause that a few times?
Yeah. It's pretty, it was pretty hot.
What was the first movie you saw?
Dick?
No, where you got turned on, where you went like, yeah, this is hot.
Oh, no, don't do that. It was probably The Neverending Story.
Uh-huh.
As a kid.
Yeah.
Atreyu on Artex and the Swamp of Sadness and like riding a dragon, you know?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
I think it was Bo Derek in 10.
That makes sense.
With Polaris playing.
She had the braids.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, two different movies.
Okay.
We got time for a couple more stories, and I want to talk about your personal story after this one. So Heidi Klum reveals there are limits she won't cross when it comes to her nude sunbathing, which I'm like, thank God, you know?
Isn't she with Seal?
She was.
Oh.
And that she has a couple kids from Seal. But
so
yeah,
she's unsealed now?
She's unsealed. Sign unsealed delivered. So she obviously is from Europe, so she has no issue with nudity. But everyone's always like, you know, now that she's like a 50-year-old woman, everyone's like, stop it! Enough! She feels comfortable with her body, and she does have boundaries when it comes to her own house, she says. And she has some strict rules. And those rules are, she says she's super comfortable naked today to the point where my kids are like, Mom, I have a friend coming over. And I'm like, have I ever been naked in the backyard when a friend was coming over? As soon as someone is coming, I put my top on. So it's a very G-rated household. But once she has the place to herself, it's game over. We got naked mom on the loose. I say go for it. I'm always naked in my place. There, I said it.
I walk around naked. Not when my kids are around, but when my wife is around. We both walk around naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is clickbait for me. This is just kind of like, all right.
Okay.
She's like, I'm 50. I don't want him to be 34. Oh, this is her boyfriend. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. So Heidi Klum has no problem being naked and sunbathing. But this reminded me of your story that I wanted to talk about over the summer.
Yeah.
You were at the beach.
Nude.
Nude, as you should be.
Yeah.
Just a free dong in the wind, like the Roman days.
It's my biography.
Dong in the wind.
Free dong in the wing. In the wind.
But wait, can you tell our listeners what happened?
Because I hate to talk about it because...
No, you don't. No, don't.
So I go to the beach and it was the day of the hurricane. You remember the hurricane?
Oh.
I'm still getting over it.
I still have to take the wood off my windows.
I had to go in the backyard and sweep a puddle. It was this deep.
I'm so sorry. The levees broke, apparently.
Yes. And so I go down to the beach in the morning because the waves were good and I was body surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a great swimmer, but I like to buy some body surfing, and there's not a lot of people around. And so waves started to get big, and I was like, all right, I better get my ass in.
Uh-huh.
So I start swimming. You ever swim towards the shore, but then the shore is getting further away from you as you swim? I'm in a riptide.
Yeah.
So I'm getting sucked out, and I was like panicking, and I'm swimming harder. And as I'm starting to panic, I hear over my shoulder, further out to sea, I hear, help! And I'm like, fuck.
No.
Don't turn around.
Just let him go.
Just let him go. Save your ass. And so I did, and I turned around, and I see this guy, and he's this fat guy with a shaved head and swim goggles on, slapping at the water like an idiot. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. So I took a life-saving class when I was a teenager. My parents and my friend's parents all signed us up to take a class this summer. But we used to go to Brian Van Horn's house before class every morning, and we would just rip bong hits for like 20 minutes. And so we sucked at the class.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the summer, I took the test, and I failed the written part of the test and then the physical part as well. So I failed the whole test.
The whole thing.
But I learned a couple things, like how to do a cross-chest carry. So I get up to the guy, I get behind him, I get my arm over his chest, and I do some side stroke. Giant wave comes. I'm like, dude, hold your breath. We're going down. We get knocked down. We get flipped around. I find him. I get him back. Three more strokes. Another wave knocks us down. This goes on for like 4 minutes, which does not sound like a long time.
No, but it is in the water.
Long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not a good swimmer. And so finally, I'm like, all right, we're going to die. I was so exhausted. I couldn't breathe anymore. My muscles were putty. And I was like, okay, let's just let go. And I put my feet down, and I realized I can just touch my toes on the sand on the bottom of the ocean. Water's up to here. And so I get behind him, and I'm pushing him. We're getting hit by waves. I'm pushing him. And then finally we get up to, like, below nipple level. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, I think we may be able to make it here. And that's when the Baywatch boat comes screaming in. Tan young stud in a red suit dives off the back.
In slow motion.
Grabs my guy. And he starts bringing him in towards the shore. Now there's a crowd of people and they're all like, you know, videotaping on their phones and they're cheering. He gets in, they're giving him hand jobs. And I get sucked back into the wave. And I can't get out of the wave. So it takes me five. He doesn't pay attention because he's taking selfies.
He's the hero.
And, yeah. It takes me 5 minutes to get out of the wave. And then I'm walking towards the shore. And, you know, the tide is going against me. So I'm like leaning into it. And I'm so tired. My hands are trembling. And then I shit my pants. I shit my swim trunks. And so I just shook it out. And then I kept walking. Luckily, it didn't have a liner. I kept walking. I got to the sand.
Shake it out.
I get to the sand, and the guy runs up to me, and he goes, "You saved my life." He goes, "Are you okay?" And I go, "I shit myself." And he turned around, and he just walked away. So don't be a hero. Don't be a hero. Yep.
But that's the one of three times you've saved someone's—
Four.
Four?
Yep.
God.
I've saved somebody from drowning four times.
Oh, always drowning.
Always drowning.
Wow.
My aunt, we're in Atlantic City. My aunt was, she got sucked out. I swam over the waves. I got her. She was about 81 years old. And then in Costa Rica, I saved an Asian girl who got sucked into a riptide under a waterfall.
Oh, weird.
I dove under the water. She was under the water pinned, and I pulled her out.
Ugh.
And then these kids saw me, and it was a school trip. And I was there with my son, and my son was probably about 8 or 9. My daughter was about 6. And as we were walking through the parking lot, all the kids were lined up to get on the bus and they started chanting hero. And I just looked at my son. I go, "Are you fucking watching this right now?
Do you see what I'm getting right now?" Maybe that's what you wanted. You're used to like crowds applauding you.
Right.
And
wherever I go,
the beach wasn't it that day. You know, that was your Tom Brady.
And then my other friend, Evan Dunsky, who created the show Nurse Jackie, we were boogie boarding on Venice Beach one day and he rode a wave. We were both on this wave and I pulled off it because I saw that it was closing out. It was going straight down. He got sucked into it. He went head down into the ground and he came up unconscious.
Oh.
And I got him and I put the board under him and I got him into shore. Saved his life.
I mean, my God.
I know.
Lifeguard. You failed the test.
You may not know celebrities. You know a hero.
I do know a hero. I do. I do know celebrities.
You know.
I'm on my way, all right? With my mug.
Yeah.
Well, we have time for one more story.
One more story.
These sheep have broken into a greenhouse, and they ate over 600 pounds of marijuana. And the shepherd noticed that they were acting strangely. Now,
what was strange? Were they talking about whether or not ants have cognition?
Probably.
And
they were talking about the Roman Empire. Yeah. They were like, the good old days. A flock of sheep in Greece ate over 600 pounds of cannabis after accidentally ending up in a medical marijuana greenhouse. A storm that Greg was lifeguarding during the time had torrential downpours, forcing the sheep to look for shelter. They ended up consuming the weed that was in the greenhouse. When the shepherd found them later, he noticed the sheep were behaving strangely, with unconfirmed rumors claiming that the flock of sheep enjoyed very much getting stoned. The greenhouse owner was disappointed to find that a large chunk of his supply of weed was severely damaged by the weather, but it was also eaten by the sheep. So he didn't know whether to laugh or cry because apparently they were all just
staring
at him.
Well, the sheep were laughing.
Well, the sheep, I think, were just like, have you ever seen animals like on cannabis?
Yeah.
They're just like staring at him. So I think it was one of those weird, what's that movie, that claymation movie, Gromus?
Remulus.
You know what I'm talking about? The little guy and his dog and all the little sheep. Gromit. Wallace and Gromus. Yeah, that one. So, a flock of sheep came into the facility. Don't know how they got around and started eating what was left. According to the sheep, they were high on cannabis.
Well, you know what's funny is when I was in Ireland this summer, the sheep all have different colors on them because they so they don't wander from field to field. You can recognize the sheep and return them.
Like they like, spray paint them?
Yeah, like red cross is Mr. McDonald's. And, you know, blue. So you look at the sheep and they look like they're tie-dyed. And I would think these sheep, these Greek sheep that are high, maybe they want to get tie-dyed.
Mm-hmm. Greg Fitzsimmons, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh,
what dates do you got coming up?
I got some New England dates coming up. Shirley, Mass., New Hampshire, Foxborough. And then I will be in Sacramento. I will be in, where else am I going?
Some haunted town,
Baltimore,
I'm sure.
Baltimore, Arlington, Virginia, Houston.
Right on.
Bunch of dates. Go to fitzdog.com for some tickets.
Yes, please do. And as always, thank you guys for listening to the Just Saying podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, tell everybody. We will see you next time. Bye.